I'm going to invite all the elders to come up. And this is the Valley of Elah. If you can imagine with me, on some of these hills on the one side were the enemies of God, the Philistines. And on the other hills on the other side of this Valley of Elah were the Israelites, God's people. On one side, there was a group of people mocking. And on the other side, there was a group of people in fear. This is the story of, this is where the account of David and Goliath happened. And you guys know the story. David came, the young man from the sheep pens, and he came to visit his brothers who were the mighty warriors. And they were being mocked by the enemies of God. And David said, "I'll go fight them. I'll go fight this giant. We got the Lord on our side." As I was thinking about what I could pass on to you as elders, and specifically Ben and Kagan and John, and then all of you as you surround them in this season of transition and into the future, I was trying to think of something physical I could give you. And I couldn't come up with anything physical. So the story goes on. Saul, who was king, he gave David his own tunic, and then he tried to give him armor and a sword, and David put it on. He said, "This doesn't fit me. I can't fight with this on. I'm not used to it. It's not my experience. I fought lions and bears and all that stuff with a slingshot. I can't use your armor, Saul." So what I want to give you guys is my blessing, because on one side, there's people mocking. And on the other side, there's people in fear. And I bless you guys to go down into the valley and fight the battle. But you got to take what you have. You got to be who you are. So I bless you to go fight the battles that are ahead of you. Kagan, Ben, John, Todd, Derek, Mike, Marty, and Ryan. Take what God has given you. Take your experiences. What I have does not fit you. You are not me. So go down in the valley and fight the battles. And I bless you in that. I bless you. Let's pray. God, thank you for my brothers. And before your people this morning, some who are in fear, some who may be mocking, some who are taking a wait-and-see attitude, Lord, I just pray blessing over Kagan and Ben and John and Todd and Derek and Mike and Marty and Ryan, and specifically Kagan and Ben and John as they lead the way down into the valley to fight the battles, and then the rest of the elders as they surround them and support them. God, I pray your blessing over them, that you would provide the very things that they need. The rest of us can't provide them, only you. So God, I pray that they could take on the battles with boldness, with courage, with fear and trembling as they cry out to you. God, you bring the victory. You protect your people. You minister hope to your people as they wait on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Thanks for helping walk through this transition. All right, I think you guys can get down, and I'm going to invite Joe Beiler to come up. So I know Joe doesn't need an introduction to most of you. Joe Beiler's, we were talking about this recently, how Joe and his wife and Karen and I had a dinner date back in 2008 or 9 or sometime in there, just kind of exploring this transition from farming to pastoring. And Joe's been walking with me for a long time, and I just thank you for your friendship and your counsel and putting up with me. And Joe is going to continue to walk with you as a church, as our CMC overseer. And I just want to pray a blessing over you, Joe, okay, and just say thank you. God, thanks for Joe. God, you have been good to us by blessing us with somebody with wisdom, wise counsel, who waits on you. And I just pray now as he shares from your word that you would give us ears to hear what you have for us to hear this morning. Thank you for his faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. invite you to turn to your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. I was remembering a while back when I was sitting at this restaurant in Altoona, and across from me was Darren Peachy, and he said that he feels that God may be speaking to him about leaving North Street and going to serve in other fields. And I remember being a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, looking at Darren and saying, not saying, but thinking, you have got to be kidding. This is not God. I didn't say that. I listened. We prayed. A short time ago, I was sitting back here in the administrative wing, the office with the elders, and listening, and again, being a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, I saw this fork in the road, and I saw it again this morning as we were worshiping Jesus. The path divided, and over here is Darren and Karen, and before them is this vast throng of broken, hurting people finding healing in Jesus. And on the other path is North Street, and I saw again this vast throng of people that are here this morning, that people that you don't know yet, that are broken and hurting, and they're finding healing in Jesus. Now, one day, these two groups will come together in Revelation 7 with this vast throng before the throne, worshiping Jesus, clothed in white robes. So that's what we're about this morning. It's a sad morning. It's an exciting morning. So the context for this morning is biblically, scripturally, let's look at these verses in Ephesians, where Ephesians, Paul writes this letter to the church in Ephesus, and he begins with, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." That's you and I. That's North Street. That's the congregation here. That's the future of this church and the future of the work that Darren and Karen, that God's leading them to. "Blessed us in the heavenly realms with," you see that? "Every spiritual blessing." What you and I desperately long for and want, even though we don't realize it. Dreams come true. The spiritual blessings in Christ. Now, jumping ahead to chapter 2 here, there's four things, there's four works that are in these first 10 verses, specific works that are game changers. The one is not from God, and the other three are from God. They're game changers that impact you and I, and that make all your dreams come true. So the first one is simply, let's see, I got a clicker here. The first one is that this is your story, this is my story. That sin working against us, dead in our transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and now the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the prince spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Amen. That's us. That's who we were. In some ways, we're still struggling with that. We were by nature objects of wrath, God's wrath. So that's the one work in chapter 2 here, the story of sin working against you and I. And then the second work there is that this incredible good news that God is working for us. Let me read these verses. "Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ." He didn't look at you and say, "You're a nice guy. I think I'd like to have you in my kingdom. I'm going to work for you. No, he saw you in your sin and desperateness and rich in mercy. He made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show us the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. There's these three verbs here. God made us alive. He raised us up, and he seated us in the heavenlies. Now, this is God working in you. That's his grace. All three of these phrases, as I understand the Greek, begin with an active tense of S-Y-N. So you think of when you sync your phone, your devices. That's where that root comes from. God's grace is at work in your life, syncing you with Jesus. Isn't that neat? Making you more like Jesus, doing his work in you because of his great love, who is rich in mercy. That's the second work. The third work in this text is that God is working in us. We are God's workmanship. We're becoming a new creation. We are a new creation. Yeah, I know we struggle. You struggle. Sin is still at work in your life. The God is doing his work through his grace. The Spirit of Jesus is working in you to change you, to conform you into himself, into the image of Jesus. And God is doing his work. Then the last one is that God is working through us. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. To do good works. So when God raised Jesus from the dead, he began, Jesus was the first fruits, and there began to be a new work demonstrated, illustrated in Jesus' life, the power of the resurrection, and that was a game changer for the whole world. Now, you and I, your life and our lives, as it was as God raised Jesus, he is raising us to be like him. And not only us, but the heart of God is that the whole of creation is redeemed back from the evil of the world, the destructiveness of sin, and brought into his kingdom. So you pray, our Father who art in heaven, right? Hopefully you pray the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Then say it with me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So now we devote our life to working for the kingdom, for his church, and we pray, Lord, use me that thy kingdom come. Use me that thy will be done. As Jesus was raised from the dead and giving us this picture of new life so we can follow in that, and that's you and I. So what are these works created in Christ Jesus to do good works? So all around us, we see, as a story Jesus said when someone asked him, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said there was this man going from Jericho to Jerusalem. I forget, which is it? Anyway, you know, maybe. And there's a man beaten up, lying on the road, bleeding and dying. The priest came, the Levite came, and then the Good Samaritan came and picked him up. That was you and I at one point. And maybe you're here this morning, and that's you. You're lying on the road. You're bleeding. You're beaten up. You're struggling. And when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we're praying for you and all those other people that are laying there, struggling, bleeding. And we're also praying for the robbers that came and attacked this man And we're praying, Lord, let your kingdom come in their lives too. And in some ways, at some point, you and I are identifying with the robbers, or we have hurt people. We have failed, right? So we pray, thy kingdom come, so that all those, including you and I, bleeding and dying, can find healing in Jesus. And we're praying that all those who are hurting people, the robbers, that God would come into their life, and they too could respond in love and find these incredible riches in Christ and be a part of the kingdom. So that's our work. That's our work. The good works. Now God gives you spiritual gifts, abilities, like Dorcas in Acts 9, where she did what she could. She served in a way that she could. You, all of us. That's what we're called to do. To use our lives that thy kingdom would come. And when God brings into our life people lying on the road, bleeding and dying and broken and hurting, that we give them a cup of cold water. We give them a smile. We pray for them. We invite them to come to Jesus as appropriate. And when we confront the robbers, the abusers, we invite them too. So Darren and Karen, that's your work. North Street, that's your work. It's our work. Let's pray. In a prayer that God, you said in Ephesians that you will do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. To him, to Jesus, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Is the time of sending. And in Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas were sent from the church at Antioch. They were sent out. And that's what we're going to do today. We are going to send Darren and Karen out from among us. So what I've done is I've prepared a sending commissioning, you could say, for Darren and Karen. So you guys can come up in the meantime. And I'm going to ask the elders as well if they would come up front. And what I'm going to ask is that you as a congregation also participate in this as a show of unity, as a show to God, really, to say we're sending them, we're entrusting you, God, or we're entrusting Darren and Karen to God for this next work that he has created for you guys to go into. What I'm going to ask is I'm going to pronounce the sending, and then at the end of the sending, there will be words up on the screen, and then we can all say those in unity as we send Darren and Karen. So, we as North Street Community Church family, as a part of the Church Universal, recognize the gifts that God has given to you, Darren, and to you, Karen. We recognize that God is calling you to minister to church families in Pennsylvania, in the United States of America, and around the world. Go, therefore, into all the world, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Encourage fellow believers to make disciples who are being transformed into the image of Jesus, and to teach all that Jesus has taught his nation. Equip the church for the work of the ministry that God's unstoppable kingdom would fill the whole earth. At this time, we as a congregation say this together. We send you to do the work of the ministry that God has given to you. From God our Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit. At this time, I'm going to ask whoever would like to, and if you're able, if you would like to come up, we're going to do a prayer of blessing. And so, come on up, and we're going to bless Darren and Karen as they go. Heavenly Father, you are the great and mighty God. You have created all things, and you are making all things new. Thank you for your power shown in your life-giving love to us, your justice shown in your life-giving mercy to us, and your beauty shown in your life-giving sacrifice for us. Your favor, Father, has been upon us as you have sent Darren and Karen to us. We thank you for sending Darren and Karen to us, for their faithfulness to your call on their lives, for involving us all in your kingdom as it continues to expand. You have been so good to us. Now, as you have called Darren and Karen to be sent from among us, we ask that you would bless them, that you would provide for them, that you would guide them as they follow after your calling to them in the known and in the unknown. We entrust them to you and to your guidance. May they be encouraged and strengthened by your power. So we ask, Father, that according to the riches of your glory, that Darren and Karen would be strengthened with power through your Holy Spirit in their inner being, so that Jesus Christ will continue to dwell in their hearts through faith, that Darren and Karen would be rooted and grounded in love, that Darren and Karen will have the strength to comprehend and understand with all Christian brothers and sisters what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Jesus Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that Darren and Karen would be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us all, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations and in all the earth forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen.
So the most important thing that happened this morning is the gospel was presented. So if you're here this morning and you're broken, and you're hurting, and you've never trusted Jesus, I would just encourage you to do that. For life and salvation, for freedom, for hope, for joy. Somebody would be glad to pray with you. There'll be elders here after the service if you desire to have somebody pray with you. Don't leave here without knowing Jesus today. I'd like to pray a final benediction from Revelation. And amazingly, Ephesians 3. Let's pray. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of all the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. And your intent, Lord, was that now through the church your manifold wisdom should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to your eternal purpose, which you accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, North Street community, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever and ever. And Lord, as we fellowship over this meal today, God, I pray that you would just be among us as we break bread together, as we commune together, as we celebrate your presence in us and among us as followers of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May your people go in peace and in joy and in hope, full of the Spirit of yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.